Awesome. Thanks, Josh. I will also add a prayer that my Wi-Fi stays stable the whole time. It's been a little spotty today. So if I, for some reason, cut out, please feel free to message in the chat or yell at me. Well, welcome to UCM. If you guys are new here, my name is Rena, and I'm one of the pastors on staff with UCM. And in the last couple of weeks, we are in the last couple of weeks of our series. We've been in this series called Unhurried Jesus Speed, where we've been taking the summer to look at different ways that we're able to slow down in order to meet with Jesus. So we've touched on topics like Sabbath and silence, solitude, sleep, my personal favorite. And last week, James talked about limits. And this week, I want to talk to you guys all about simplicity and how simplifying our lives can help us slow down and connect with Jesus. So after I graduated college, I spent a summer in Uganda in this little village in the middle of nowhere. And before this trip, I had spent a lot of different times in different parts of the world, like Asia, Europe, South America, but I hadn't spent any time in this part of the world. And this would have been probably the most different experience I had culturally compared to my Western experience. I learned so much from my time there that it actually really changed the way that I started to view time and stuff. I remember there was days where we would just sit outside for hours, and I mean hours, in the shade doing absolutely nothing. My heart, while going there was to be with the people, learn from them and do everything they did. So often that meant spending hours sitting outside, just dwelling with people. And, many of them didn't have cell phones, so we weren't sitting there scrolling on our phones, but we would honestly just stare at the ground or like occasionally chit chat every once in a while. And I just remember people would come over and visit spontaneously, and we just eat and laugh together. And it was just so natural and organic. The people in the village just lived in and were just so present with each other. And they honestly, like, we would run Sunday schools and stuff, and they never cared how much time we spent on a Sunday school lesson or if we told the funniest stories, or they never cared if our Instagram handles were aesthetic. No, they really truly only cared about being present with them. We could have put on the most spectacular kids' camps and church services, but all they really cared about was that if we spent time dwelling with them, undistracted. And I'm pretty sure that the elimination of stuff in their lives brought this power of presence, gratitude, and slowness that really inspired me. I actually remember coming home from the trip and I felt this underlying sadness. These people were the happiest, most generous, slow-paced people I knew, and I wondered why that was. Coming home was really eye-opening for me as I started to feel this stirring in my spirit about money and possessions. I remember while I was in the village at one point, we were hanging out at a school, and these two little girls come up to me and they started calling me rich. And I just remember like secretly being really bothered by that. Like, oh, you're just assuming I'm rich, like whatever. And in my mind, I was like, like you have no idea. Like I'm a student, I have a massive student loan, sometimes even struggle to like put food on the table. But the reality is, I have a car, I have a smartphone, I have a closet full of clothes, at least five different pairs of shoes for different occasions, and the list goes on. And here in the West, even if we don't consider ourselves to be rich, and often students do not consider themselves to be rich, we often talk about students as being dirt poor, actually. But if you think about it, if you make more than 25 grand a year, then you're in the top 10% of the world's wealthy population. And if you make more than $34,000 a year, then you're in the top 1% of the world's wealthy population. And this really hit me when I heard these stats, because I began to realize that the more stuff occupying my time led to more hurry. And these families that I interacted with lived the most slow-paced life out of anyone I had ever met. But they also didn't have a lot of stuff occupying their time. Do you ever notice that hurry and stuff are often connected? when I was in this village in Uganda, just dwelling with people, having no phone or items distracting me, I was so much more present with God and people and was less worried or anxious compared to when I came home. And maybe having more money and more things makes me more hurried. I remember coming home from that trip, saddened by my closet technology and saddened by consumerism and the discontentedness that came with those things. And I think the sadness I felt coming home was my spirit trying to tell me something about slowing down. Jesus talked a lot about money and possessions through the Gospels. And don't get me wrong, I don't think it's bad to have possessions. In fact, I have tons of them. And it's not bad to have money. In fact, it can be a really great thing. But oftentimes, Jesus throughout the scripture warned us against them. And I think simplicity is one way that we can shape our lives to create the margin and the space to receive and meet with Jesus that can actually help us slow down. So let's take a look at what scripture says about this topic and how it can help us slow down to meet with him. So we're going to look at the rich young ruler passage in Matthew 10, 17 to 27. And I'm just going to post that in the chat for you guys. And I'll read it out here. As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have done all these things from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But he was deeply dismayed by these words and went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Now, the first thing you notice about this young man is that he's searching. He's truly looking for Jesus. He's grasping at the leg of Jesus, and this rich young ruler, it would have meant that he had influence. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He would have had influence in society and would have been really well respected by people. This man knows something is missing in his life. And he asked Jesus a big question. This man was searching. He was asking, "What must I do? What must I do to follow you, Jesus?" And Jesus simply answered him and told him, "Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and then come follow me." And like we read, the man went away grieving. And later on in this passage, Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, how hard is it for those with much to come and follow me? Jesus went on to say that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to come and enter the kingdom of God. This young man was searching for God and wanted to meet with Jesus and truly follow him. And Jesus noticed that one thing stood in his way, and it was his possessions. Up until recently, when I read this passage, I would automatically take myself out of the equation. You read rich young ruler, and you think to yourself, "I'm not rich," and that's me. I know rich people like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Bezos. Like, I'm none of those guys. Like, those guys are the rich guys, right? But not me. And, you know, I didn't come from a wealthy home. I never had brand name clothes. I came from a very minimum wage income family. And growing up, I would have said we were probably like, you know, welfare family. Like we did not have a lot of money. But I just grew up out of touch with the global poverty. And I never realized that even just living in the West, I was, even if I wasn't rich in our society's eyes, I had a lot more than a lot of people in the world. And even if I'm not rich, I'm not off the hook when it comes to my possessions. And just like when that kid called me rich in Uganda, I never considered myself to be someone with a lot of things. But compared to the majority of the world, we do have a lot of stuff. And I think his warning to the rich can really relate to our hurried state here in Canada. Jesus never said that money and possessions are bad. He definitely had money and possessions, but he challenged this man who came to him that if he wanted to follow him and if he wanted to slow down and really encounter him, then he needed to eliminate distractions from his life. And too much stuff can also be a distraction, not only to our presence, but our mind. And any possessions that you have that don't add value or anything that keeps you from the life you could be living is clutter to the mind, which can cause this mental clutter that distracts us from God. And often too much stuff can drain our time. If we're honest, like sometimes it's great and we enjoy everything we're doing, but if we're honest, stuff does take up time. And if we want to unhurry, then we should take on Jesus' challenge to slow down and declutter our lives. And one last passage here that I'll read to you is from Matthew 6, 19 to 24. And I'll throw that in the chat as well. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. You either will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and you despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And notice here that Jesus didn't say you shouldn't serve both God and money, but he says you can't. Wherever you put your resources is where you put your heart. And we just need to take inventory of what we have, because excess stuff in our life can be an engine to hurry. Not always, it's not always bad, but it can be an engine to hurry. And we love to shop. I love to shop, but I think that sometimes Amazon has become a temple and money can often replace God. We fill our lives with things and activities that take up a lot of space and cause hurry. We often use happiness that we find in things and items and money to fill voids that God wants to fill and wants us to leave room for. And when the pandemic hit last year, I remember shopping online like a ton. I remember like trying to buy a ton of different things, and I was just trying to find things to fill my time with. Which honestly was helpful to an extent. Like I did fill my time and I got busy, but I realized that in doing so, these things brought and consumed my time to the point where I didn't leave any margin and I had no margin left to be slow and present with Jesus. And Jesus is making these statements in the gospel. And if you read through, he talks a lot about money, but he's basically talking about what the most important things in life are. And he's saying that it isn't, like the most important things isn't our closets or our online platforms, but he's really trying to teach us that the best way to live is a slow and simple life. He's inviting us to slow down and live a freer, more abundant life with him. And in the life of Jesus, we kind of see this tension where Jesus was a carpenter. So he would have been someone who would have had money and had status. And we see that, you know, Jesus lived in a way where the world and everything in it is good and meant to be shared with those in need. But on the other hand, he warns us saying too much wealth can be dangerous because it has the potential to turn us away from God. And Jesus had this kind of carefree, unconcerned kind of posture about possessions. He lived very open-handedly and simply, regardless of his income. And, you know, every day we are targeted with ads all day long about buying new stuff. Like I sometimes, I don't know if you guys get this, but I'll like start talking about like something I don't even want or need. And the next hour I get this Instagram ad that tells me I need to buy like a can opener or something. I don't know. Put in the chat what the craziest ad you've gotten, like requested to you, if you've had a weird algorithm, ad targeting. But needless to say, we are targeted all the time. And whether or not we realize it in our Western culture, we have been consumed in materialism. So is there a way to break free from this soul-draining habit of Western materialism and lean into the way of the life of Jesus? And there is. And I love all the things coming in there. I won't say it out loud, so it's not on the recording. But but yes, there is a way to break free from this consumerism. And so I want us to look at this practice called simplicity. And so we see that Jesus loved it and modeled it. And another word that we can use for it, and a lot of kind of secular language will use the term minimalism. So I'll kind of use both because I think they're both good. But what is simplicity? What would be simple living? So first of all, simplicity isn't just like an aesthetic, like, or It's not just like a trendy, like, oh, everybody wants to like live in their van kind of thing. It's not just an aesthetic. It's also not about living in poverty, but living in simplicity is freedom, free of clutter, speed, distraction. Minimalism isn't just about having money and stuff, but it's about your whole life, living simply in your whole life. It's not about living with nothing, not about you just like, I'm not telling you guys all to go live in your van now, although that might be fun for you. I know it's kind of a secret dream of mine, but it's not about living with nothing, but it's about living with less. It's about limiting our level of social activities, possessions, expenses, obligations to a level where we're free to live joyfully in the kingdom of Jesus. And simplicity is just how we build our lives around Jesus. And so I don't know about you guys, but I find road trips like one of the most spiritual experiences ever. Throughout my college days, and I've shared these stories so many times in sermons, but every year while I was a student, I always would go on a road trip. And during these times, we're on the road, we're living in a van, we have no showers, we don't have a home, we didn't bring any toys or anything with us. We only brought the essentials, Nutella, bread, and the clothes on our back. That's all we needed. And this trip eliminated so much stress from my life and gave me margin to encounter Jesus. When we literally got rid of everything we owned to live in a van for 2 weeks, although we smelled and although it wasn't ideal, we were so much more as a communal group, so in tune with the Holy Spirit. We did not have so much clutter going on around us. We were undistracted and able to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so the goal isn't to declutter our closets or our rooms, but to declutter our lives, to clear away the plethora of distractions that ranks up anxiety and feeds hurry so that we can meet with Jesus. And so I'm going to give you guys a couple exercises that maybe you could try if you're intrigued by this idea of living simply in order to encounter Jesus. So the first exercise or first thing that I would recommend you guys try is to take inventory. And this could start with your closet, because I feel like we probably have more clothes than we need a lot of the times, unless you're like a dude with two t-shirts. If you're out there, let me know. But I find that at least for females, we often have a lot of clothes that we just like collect and grows in our closet. So yeah, Gavin's getting called out. So Gavin lives with two t-shirts probably. But anyways, yeah, start with your closet and just start to actually go through your stuff and make piles, make a giveaway pile, make a pile that you want to sell. Like if your clothes are nice, do a throwaway pile. And then sometimes we get really sentimental with our items and emotional to things. Like I know I do, like not that I'm a hoarder, but sometimes my items hold a lot of sentimental value and it's hard for me to let go of. So then make another pile where you just wait. And if after 6 months you don't touch it, it doesn't bring you joy anymore, then just, yeah, throw it out, sell it, do what you need to do. And then you can move on to different places in your house, like your bathroom, and just spend a day just evaluating your stuff and put them into piles. And you'll notice that you'll start to declutter some of the things in your life. And this could just start the process of living simply. The second thing you guys can do, if you want to start on this simplicity way of life, is to budget and schedule. I think that time and money are the two main resources that we can offer God in this world. So my challenge to you guys is to maybe come up with your ideal schedule. Write out from Monday through Sunday, that's the last day of the week, and come up with what your ideal schedule would look like. So add your spiritual disciplines, your Sabbath, time for silence and solitude, all these things that we have been talking about, schedule in your sleep, and schedule in the relationships that mean the most to you, and just look at where your time is and look at where your money is going. And then you can give that schedule to someone and ask them to hold you accountable to it. And again, living simply is about your whole life and creating margin for God to speak. It's not just about clearing out your closet, but your whole life. And then number three, my challenge to you guys would be to engage in mindfulness buying. That's a mouthful. Engage in mindfulness buying. And so I would just challenge you before you buy something or click on that ad that comes up on your Instagram feed, because I know we're all tempted to do that. Before buying something, I want you guys to ask yourself, what is the true cost of this item? Will it add value to my life and help me enjoy God and his world even more? Or will it distract me from what really matters? What will this do for my pace of life? Will it make me more busy, more hurried, more distracted? And then another part of mindfulness buying, don't just impulse buy something. I'm really guilty about that. I see something I like and it's so easy to just click. Amazon shows up at your house the next day. But instead of impulse buying, ask yourself if you truly need it and take a breath and allow yourself to catch up to your thoughts. You'll learn while doing this to cultivate a deep appreciation for simple pleasures. And to kind of close, I have a friend who, a couple friends who decided to move into a tiny home together. And so I just kind of asked her, I just kind of gave her a little interview today because I was so curious. I'm like, out of anyone I know in the West, they're probably trying to live the most simple life by moving into a tiny home. And so I just asked her, what is she learning about slowing down and living a life of simplicity? Like, what is she learning from that? Like, how has this process been for her? And her and her husband are Christians. And this is what she said. Minimalism helps you focus on things that actually matter. When there's so many earthly possessions, there's so much distraction. When you have only what you need, it helps you rely on Jesus more and that God will provide everything you need. Through this process, I felt less hurried and have come to realize that my identity should be rooted in the love of God and not rooted in our things or platforms, because in the end, that will do nothing for us in heaven. And so that really hit me. Somebody who's really walking out this simple life, just sharing her thoughts on how it's going. So Jesus preached a simple life and warned us against power, possessions, and money. Living a life of simplicity can create margin for us to commune and declutter our minds in order to meet with Jesus. So I just want to ask you guys, and again, like every sermon, these are guilt-free things. I'm working on this myself too, but this is just a tool and a way that we can use to help us slow down and meet with Jesus. So I just want you guys to ponder maybe what is one step that you guys can make this week to declutter your life in order to create margin to slow down and meet with Jesus. So I'm just going to pray, and then you guys can get popped into your breakout rooms to have more discussion on this topic. So if you'll pray with me. Jesus, I thank you so much that you truly desire to meet with us. I thank you so much that you modeled a life of slowness. You modeled a life of limits. You modeled Sabbath and silence, and you modeled what simple living looks like. And Jesus, I just pray that as we try to engage these different tools that we've been talking about, that we would be able to truly slow down and commune with you more this summer. Would you bless our breakout room discussions and help us just learn more about you in the process? We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.